For our study for today, and as you see, there's a new commandment I just made up: thou shalt not worry. It's not actually like that in the Bible, but there's something else that we find in John chapter 10, verse 10. Christ says to disciples this: I have come so that you may have life, and you may have life and life abundant. You know, how does life abundant look like? Or, you know, it's life when you have, for example, no worries, or life when you enjoy God and you have hope and you have, I don't know, God is with you at all times and you are with God at all times and life is just great, not because you are not without problems, but because you go through everything with God. Life abundant. And still, we're not enjoying that every single day. Some days maybe feel more abundant than others, but some days are really, really not abundant. Something steals, robs our joy or our peace many a day, and it's usually worry. Let me read some verses from Matthew 13, actually on the screen. Matthew 13, verse 7 and verse 22nd, actually. It's from that parable of the sower, but it's only a couple of verses from it. It speaks about the seeds that fell. Okay, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. So some seed were thrown, fell on the road, some fell by the side of the road, and some fell amongst thorns. And this is the seeds that fell among the thorns. And this is the explanation that Christ gives the disciples. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. I read this verse and it just struck me. You know, we may very well be seeds that get roots and start to grow, but it says here that the worries of this world and the deceitfulness of the wealth choke the word and make it unfruitful. We spoke last Sunday about the deceitfulness of the wealth, the fact that the wealth tries to replace God as a treasure, and our heart needs to be with God as the one and most important treasure. But also, Jesus continues this passage today, speaking not about wealth, but about worries. They're somehow connected. You know, there's actually a very good connection, because it says here in verse, if we read, actually, verse 624, we'll go back in a second there. It says here, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God or money. And it continues, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body, what you will put on. It is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? So there's a solid connection between our passage today about you should not worry and the one before. Because you know what? Money can be a very harsh master. Whether you have little or a lot, money can be a very harsh master. And this master uses worry as a whip on our backs. You know, and this is why Christ speaks today, because it's basically we set our eyes on things here and forget about God. We set our hearts on fears or lacks or things we don't have and forget that we have the most important thing, which is our life with the Lord, the new life with Christ Jesus. You know, I read a book, D.A. Carson is the author. He wrote this: just as earthly possessions can become an idol that deposes God by becoming hugely important, so also can earthly needs become a source of worry which deposes God by fostering distrust. What he says is, as much as the wealth can take our eyes from God and become an idol for us, so does our earthly needs. Things we need, which are not bad. We need food, we need clothing, we need something to drink when we're thirsty. But those needs can also become an idol when they take God's place and replace actually faith with worry. And that's probably the greatest problem is our faith is no longer active because our worries replace our faith. There's a sense in which worry can be good. I mean, not all worry is bad. And we can actually replace the word worry with concern. We should be concerned, for example, about the future of our kids. Or we should be concerned about, you know, the way we serve God, or the, you know, the future of our church. Concern is not bad because, you know, if you don't have concern, you can actually say you're a bit irresponsible, you know. So concern is okay as long as it moves you to faith and to prayer and to peace from above. But at the same time, worry can be more destructive than you can even imagine. It can be evil because its presence, the very presence of that bad worry, signifies unbelief and sometimes even disobedience. And that's why Christ says you should not, actually not says you should not, he says do not be anxious. When you say you should not, it's like, take it or leave it. But Christ says, no, do not be anxious. It's a command that we should actually obey. It's hard. And, you know, as I thought about this, as we go through this, I'm not speaking as someone who has not been here. Or has, I've lived a life of overcoming faith and I have never worried. No. To be honest, I've tasted the bitterness of worry more than I would have liked in my life. You know, because something happens and I'm a guy, I like to make sure I have solutions and I can fix problems, but it's not always in my hands. For example, it's even quite recent, I mean, relatively recent, 2 years ago, 2015, I came here in January to start my new life in Newmarket, Canada, Ontario, up north a bit, and waiting for my wife to come about 6 weeks later with the kids and start together our life here. And as I was in a staff meeting on Tuesday morning at the church, I got a phone call from Anna saying that their visas were denied. And I was just destroyed. I mean, I could do nothing except one thing, worry. I wish I could say pray and have peace from God. No, I worried and I cried and I tried solutions. I made phone calls. And it was bad. And that's me 2 years ago. And I know how that tastes and it's not good. And I don't want to go back there. Because since then I've learned other lessons. I've learned, we'll talk about this later, about the active faith that can replace worry. But you know what? I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking down. Actually, I kind of am physically kind of talking down because I'm up. But I've been here. I've tasted it. I'm not speaking because just from books I've read. It's my life. And it's both my defeats and my victories with God that are behind my words this morning. So as we go, let me clarify a couple of things. Jesus is not advocating then for a thoughtless, careless way of life. When he says, do not worry, he doesn't mean like go back, you know, go to the beaches of, let's say, California and enjoy life and, you know, just leave us a bum on a beach and just care about nothing. You know, leave your kids and your wife and just go enjoy football or whatever. No, it's not about that. He's warning about those worries that show lack of faith and that rob us from the joy of life, which Christ has promised to us. The word used here in this passage, not here, is, sorry for that, Greek word merimna. You can forget that right as I say it. It means to worry anxiously, to be anxiously worried about something. That worry that eats at your heart and doesn't let you sleep at night and gives you ulcers, and that worry is spoken about here. And the idea of this passage that we should have a life that's focused on things above, focused on God's power and God's sovereignty and God's love, and therefore let him rule our hearts with peace and with trust that he fills our heart with. Spurgeon wrote this, and I love this passage, this quote. Spurgeon, a preacher from a couple of centuries ago, he said, "Lovely lilies, lovely lilies, how you rebuke our foolish nervousness." I can be very quickly nervous when something bad happens. But Spurgeon says, look at the flowers, at the lilies. They rebuke us in our foolish nervousness. I love that quote. But let's jump into our passage. The main principle, is it? I was just checking how big the letters are. Not, I do see the screen over there. For those who don't know, for many months I've used PowerPoints, but I didn't have a screen so I can see what's in back. So I kept doing this. And since we have a new screen down there, I still do this out of habit. So I'm working on that. But anyway, main principle. Let's read the verse. Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? So this is the main idea. And it's simple. I cannot say it more simple than this. Don't worry. You can actually sing it. Was that a song about this? Yeah, that one. Don't worry. Do not worry. Why is that therefore there? I told you before, that word therefore that the pastor starts with connects with what's before. You know, do not worry about stuff in life, because if you start worrying, actually you will start serving money. Money will take your mind. You know, therefore do not serve money, serve God, because God will take care of your body, of your food, of your whatever. You know, like I said, money can be a harsh master, and worry is the whip that the money uses for keeping us in check, in his check. You know, God is a loving father. You should start with a foundation of theology. God is sovereign, and God is almighty, and God loves you. You know, if anything else, fall back to that old theological song, so solid song. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Maybe a kid's song, but it's amazing, amazingly solid theology. Fall back on that and think, the Father loves me, and he is almighty, and he is wise. Therefore, he will give me presents. Sorry, not presents. Give me what I need. Christmas just confuses me. He will give us what we need. Romans 8:32 says this, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? I mean, this is our Father, the one we should trust, the one we should obey, the one we should give our hearts to, because he knows us. He gave us already the greatest things ever, thing ever, which is Christ, his Son. He will give us everything else, because what was more difficult, more important, that has happened already. So trust God. You know, life is so much more than what you, what says here? Is not life more than food? It's so much more than food. Is body more than clothing? Of course, because body in this context means you doing something with your life, with your body for God. There's so much more to worry, to think about, to be concerned about than what you will wear, you know. We were blessed, Anna and I were so blessed. Many times we just go to the mall and we walk around and we walk by stores and we say, do we go in? No, we don't need anything. It's an awesome feeling to know, you know, I would like stuff. I'm not saying I like stuff. You know, my birthday is coming, so I want a new body. You know, I really want a new body. Nikon D7500. You know, that's my body that I want, you know. That's a camera body. But anyway, I want stuff because I'm a kid in my heart. You know, I like, you know, new shoes, new pants, new whatever. But you know what? I don't need them. And I'm thankful to God because he gave me even more than I can wear. You know, I'm blessed. And I trust him because he loves me. My life is more than just what I wear, what I eat, you know. I enjoy going to Robert's and Beth's and enjoy, you know, genuine home-cooked Chinese food, you know. But I can, and that's a blessing, but I can eat anything. I can go and eat, I don't know, what I cook, which is probably the worst that can happen. But life is so much more than just what you eat. So the point is here, don't worry about those things. Your Father knows, and he will provide for you. But let's move on. He goes on with a couple of examples. And the first one is about the birds. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Guys, think about who you are, your identity. You know, I used to kind of like, make fun of this word, your identity in Christ. It's so much books, so many books were written about this idea, and I was a bit, you know, caustic with all the emphasis on our identity in Christ, until I realized I need to learn who I am, who am I before God, for me to actually not worry anymore. I had to actually learn who am I before God, and I am loved more than any bird of the sky who is fed and taken care of by God. God loves me, and He will provide for me, and you know, He's my Father, my loving Father. And you know, it says here, I love this passage, verse 27. It's not even on the screen. Just open your Bibles or swipe or click. Which one of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Which one of you, by worrying, can add anything to your life? You know, the translation is older. Says, which one by worrying can add 1 inch to your height, or something along those lines? You know, you can do nothing. Worry is useless. It does. It produces nothing but I don't know, lack of faith and problems and lack of sleep. And worry is a killer. Has nothing good to add to your life. So why should you even worry? Because by worrying, you produce nothing. You can add nothing to your life. You know, and still we do worry. I sometimes still worry. I try not to, but it's, I guess, the pattern of life that's going to take me a while to unlearn. I'm learning, though. I'm happy. I'm blessed that I can look at the situation of our lives, and sometimes they're overwhelming, but God's trust grows in me. My faith in God grows in me, and I can walk with a smile on my face. Sometimes I have tears, but I can still smile because I know God is in control. You know, so why should I worry? Because I cannot add anything anyway. The flowers, the lilies. And why are you so anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. Arrayed. I didn't know that word. If he clothes them, how much more will he clothe us? You know, look at the flowers and think, God does so many wonders with things who are passing. Flowers, they're here today, they're gone tomorrow. You know, it's a sunny day, you bring out your lawnmower and everything is gone except for the weeds. The weeds stay. And God loves us so much more than them. And God says, if you worry about this, I can do so much more than that. You know, just trust me, you know. Forget about the worries. Don't put your eyes on things below and things here in this world, because it will eat you up, you know. It says here, oh, you of little faith. And that's us. Let's be honest. When you worry, when I worry, that's like a sign that says, I am he of little faith. You know, we don't actually have that sign. We could, you know, but it would be funny. But that's what God sees us when we worry. It's like this, when it says, but if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You know, that's me, unfortunately, sometimes. Not always, and less, actually, as I grow with Christ, as I enjoy your fellowship here. To be honest, being in this family of Christ at Royalton has taught me to cast a great number of worries aside. You've shown me support and prayers when life was tough, and you welcomed me and my wife and my kids with so much love, and you know, that helped me to actually see God's love through you, and we can show it to others too. You know, it's our role as a family of Christ to walk around and to see, you know, if we see someone that's worrying, just come alongside and encourage that person. And sometimes maybe even be God's hands by doing something about that worry. You know, if someone worries about food, get them a, you know, bowl of soup or something, or take them out for dinner, or, I don't know, buy them a bag of groceries. We can do stuff. God has blessed us abundantly, and we can be God's agents in removing those worries and building up trust more and more, and faith more and more in our church. Because in the end, we need to live lives that are different than those around us that do not know Christ. The next verses actually speak like this. Therefore, again, a therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? for the Gentiles seek after all these things, and you, your heavenly Father, knows that you need them all. So, okay, this word Gentiles, it's from, do you know what that means? Some of you know, some of you don't. It means those who were non-Jewish, those who were not of the Jewish nation. And in this case, it meant those who do not know God. Okay? So you can translate this word Gentiles at this point as those who do not know Christ. Okay? In those days, it meant those who were not Jewish. They're Gentiles, different nations. It's a Latin word that means actually people or nation. So those nations did not know Christ. Today is those who do not know Jesus. So we can say this. Why do you worry? Those who do not know Christ. Yeah, they worry, but your Father knows that you need all these. Even the Father knows. You should not worry just like other people. You should, as a Christian, you should display something else. Something should be visible in your life as people get to know you at work, at home, on the street. I don't know. People should see something different in us, and they should say, what's wrong with them? What's different about them? Why do they live like this? Why don't they worry? It's because we know God, our Heavenly Father, and He knows us, and we know Him, and we trust Him, and we choose to not worry. It's a choice in the end. You know, this different life, it's a choice. It's not necessarily a magic act of transformation or whatever. It's a choice to believe what we read in the Scriptures. To choose that or what the devil is whispering in our ears when he says, oh, will you have bread for tomorrow? Or will you have money for the kids for college? Or how about your job? You know, that's the devil trying to make you worry and forget about faith. God has a whole different way to look at life. And it's verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Is that on the screen? It's not. I forgot. Is it here? It is. Okay, sorry. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. That's a very basic verse in the Scriptures that we should all memorize. We're chatting with the Chinese seniors this Thursday about the power and the importance of memorizing Scriptures. This one verse you should memorize. But you should not seek. No, but you should seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which means what? Focus your life on God and on his mission and on his righteousness for your life. You know, focus your life on serving God. Whether you're at home, at work, or in the church, he should be your first and most important mission in life. Not getting more money or more jobs or more education. Those are good. Money's not bad. Education is good. It's not. It's good to have education. But that is all you think about? Becomes an idol, and we should be different. We should be seeking God and his kingdom and his righteousness, knowing that all those needs God will take care of. Now, will he give us all we want? That's a whole different story. Probably not. You know, like I said, I would like a new body, but I should exercise for that. That's a joke. If I know I want, let's say, a new camera, because I like cameras, toys, you know, toys for boys, I'm not worried if I don't get it, because I have a decent one right now. And getting another one will be just a desire. Maybe God will grant that desire, you know. But do I worry about not having a different camera? No. Or a car. Maybe your car is not that good. You know, I had a car back, our first car, 10-year-old Renault 12. Four-cylinder carburetor, the old classic engine. And it broke so often that I became family friends with the mechanic. You know, the mechanic would call me, can you take my girl to school today? You know, we were that close because I spent so much time in his house that his wife would just cook for me. And I mean, anyway, so it was a bad car. But you know what? It was a car. I would go to church and with my kids and my wife, and I would not, you know, haul through two trams with two guitars and two kids behind us. No, I would drive to church. It was awesome, you know. Did it break down sometimes? It did, but you know what? I wasn't even worried. It was God's gift for me, and I enjoyed it. And God blessed us even after that. But point is, the conclusion, therefore, you should not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I can't even imagine Christ with like a smile on his face, like half a smile a bit, you know, just looking at the disciples and saying, guys, you know, tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient trouble for the day. You know, just focus on today. If you think too much about tomorrow, you'll lose your joy, you'll start worry, and you'll take your eyes off of me. Think about today, what's at hand, which is my life for God today. Now, this all nice and dandy theory. You should not worry. Do not worry. You know, it's easy for me to say when we say it from a pulpit or whatever, but how do we actually get there? How do we actually get to the point where we can remove most of the worries, maybe not all, but most of it from our lives? You know? Now, what do we do? That's a big, important question. And it's actually in the Bible also. It's Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Probably very known, but I'll still read them. It says here, again, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication or petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is a very simple recipe of how to get away, move away from worries and move towards faith, which should be for us as Christian as a sign. It should be a sign for us as Christian. So first things is prayer. You know, prayer is where you start. Do you worry? Yes. What do you do in that second? You go to God. You hear your wife being worried about something, you stop and say, honey, let's pray. You hear husband worrying, which is probably more often, you say, honey, stop, let's pray. And you pray. It's nothing else. There's nothing more simple than this. Stop and pray. Give to God what is on your heart. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your worries upon him because he cares for you. Oh, that's on the screen. Nice. I was from memory. Was I right? Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That was good. That was close enough. Okay, that's it. Go and pray to God. Bring your petitions. Bring your supplications. Bring your requests, your worries, your problems, your pain, your hurt, everything to God. That's one of the keys, with thanksgiving. What does that mean? With thanksgiving. By faith, you thank him for what he will do for you. You may not see the result, you may not see the solution yet, but by faith, you pray, you thank God for things you have not yet seen, because that is faith. You know, switch with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Just for a second. It's not on the screen, so we'll have to read from the old-fashioned scriptures on the book. Verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That is faith. When you give God thanks, when you pray and thank God, you don't thank for, oh, I've got a solution, thank you, Lord. No, he said, Lord, I don't see any solution, but thank you because you do see that. We are blind. We talked last night about the fact that we see in part. I was at the Mandarin Bible Study last night. Thank you for having me there. I know it was a great experience for me to be part of the Mandarin Bible Study. But we spoke about the fact that we don't see everything yet, and God does. And when he makes a choice, when God does something, even though we don't understand, we trust his sovereignty. When we don't see the solution, we still pray and give God thanks for things that we don't see yet, because we're convinced that they will come. That is faith. The assurance of things not seen, the conviction for things that we do not yet have. That is faith. So you go to God and you pray. It is as simple as that. You give God thanks for things you have seen not yet, and you cast all your anxieties, all your worries upon him. And here is the part of the Spirit of God. A promise from above. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What is the opposite of worry? Peace. Peace because of faith. Peace because of you knowing who God is and who you are before God. The peace of God. And this is a promise, guys. This is God's promise for me and for you. As we pray, as we give Him thanks for things not yet seen, He will give us His peace. It's a promise. Promise, worry will try to eat up at your heart. Worry will try to take your eyes off of God and will make you even not pray many times. I read a book on James Montgomery Boyce was the author. He said that there was a member of the church, of the early church, by the name of Tidetius. A funny Greek name, Tidetius. Let's call him Titus, it's simpler. He had a nickname, Tidetius Amerimnos, which means, translating from Greek, it's Tidetius, the one who never worries. That was his nickname, Tidetius, the one who never worries. Would you like to have that nickname? Well, see, Dave James and say, Dave, oh, the one who never worries, but who always prays. Wouldn't that be awesome? But instead, we have others, you know. I used to be known for my anxiety, you know, for my stress. I was stressed and I would stress others. My wife can tell you stories about that. I've changed. And God is to be praised for that. But I'm praying. You know, my wife prayed for many years that I would become the most gentle, I knew that, person of the, you know, and it's actually happening. It's actually happening. Took us about 20 years of prayer, but it works, you know. She had faith and she did not worry, I think, I hope. And now today I'm a changed person because of Christ Jesus, you know. I want to not worry. I know that, as I said before, this does not mean I will stop working. I'm working, you know. I want to earn my salt, as they say, said in the past. I'm not going to be a beach bum and just, I'm not going to worry because God will provide for me anything. No, I'm going to work hard. Paul said in the Bible, those who do not work should not eat. Exactly. So I want to obey. I like bread a lot, too much. So I will work, make sure I have my bread. But also worry-free does not mean trouble-free. I read a book by John Stott. He spoke about a German priest, German pastor, actually. In Germany in the 46, 47, 14, 8 year, right after the war, Second World War, Germany was devastated by the Second World War. Bombed by the Russians and the Americans, invaded by Russians from the East, Americans from the West, and British and Canadians and French. But the country was destroyed. It was hard. They would walk on the streets and there would be piles of debris and bombs unexploded and a shortage of food and people dying of hunger and the Russians still destroying and pillaging and raping and all that in Germany. And it was bad. And still, this pastor, Helmut Thielicke, preached about this exact passage in the summer of 47 when the country was destroyed and people were suffering. He said, this man, now he talks about the lilies, although he knew the cross was looming over him. Christ spoke and said, do not worry because God takes care of you more than the lilies or the birds. And he knew he was about to die. So he said, we suffer today, but we know this is something that will not last forever. This will go and we'll get the fullness of Christ soon. So even though we live troubled lives, the cross of Christ is the hope that we will enjoy God's presence, God's peace fully. And he was a German pastor in a destroyed country. And still, he set his eyes on Christ, said, the troubles of today do not worry me because I have Christ and I have life because of Christ. I want to be like that. Although we enjoy, you know, nice, our problems here are with, like, you know, the needles under the trees. That's one of the biggest problems here. Or the asphalt in the parking lot. But still, God wants us to stop worrying and start praying. In the end, it's an issue of the heart. Like last Sunday we said, and I said many times before, it's an issue of our heart. Where is our heart? What is our treasure? You know, today's message is this. Worries will come. I'm not saying you will never worry. Worries will tempt you. But being tempted to worry is not equal with sinning, you know, as you worry. No. Worries will come, and that moment when they come, bring them to God by prayer. Thank Him for who He is, and put your faith in action. It's as simple as this. You worry? Okay, go to God and give Him everything. He says that we should trust Him. He says that we should pray with everything that's on our hearts. And in the end, we will enjoy His peace. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, bring your petitions with thanksgiving to God. And the peace of God, who surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that in You we have a new life. Because of the cross of Christ, because of His sacrifice, we can enjoy today a whole new different kind of life that's so different than the lives of those who do not know God. We know who You are, Lord. You're almighty, all-knowing, and loving God. And You know our problems, You know our needs, even know our wants. And you provide for us, and You give us blessings beyond what we can ever imagine. So, Father, help us to never sin, leaving our hearts prey to worries, keeping our eyes away from You and setting our eyes on things here, and then letting the money be the master of our lives. I pray that we can surrender our hearts to You fully, acknowledge the fact that You are an almighty and loving God, and trusting You that You truly can provide for all and every need. Father, help us to help one another also. When we see someone worrying, help us to point their hearts and their eyes towards Jesus and pray together and give You thanks together and await the answers together. Father, I pray that as we move on with our lives, we would live a whole different kind of life, not seeking things from below, not worrying about money or food or clothing or what we drink, but Father, worrying about how far has Your good news gone? How far is Your gospel going? Help us to focus on You, Lord, and on Your mission. I pray that as this Christmas comes, we'll not worry about the presents and what should we buy or how expensive, how much money, but worry about, are You glorified in our lives? Are You glorified in our families? Are You the center of this season? Help us to set our eyes on things above, Lord, and give You everything, including our worries, because we can know we can cast them upon You, because You love us, You care for us. I thank You again, and I pray one more time, help us to never worry, but always pray, always trust, and always enjoy Your peace. Amen.